Welcome to the Freelance Indexer Exchange. I'm Michelle Giuliano, and I'd like to start a conversation with you about indexing. I sometimes find the business of freelancing lonely and isolating. How about you? Do you ever wonder whether it has to be this way? So let's talk about the hard stuff, because we can do better together. Hello, I am so happy you could join me today for episode 14, where I'm going to continue to talk about my process for creating estimates. Here's a quick recap of part one. First, I spoke about determining whether the author requesting an estimate is a self-publishing author or an author working with a traditional press. Each of these authors have a unique book journey, and I want to tailor my expectations and theirs during the estimate and hopefully the indexing process to their particular book journey. I also explained that I like to know more about the type of press the author or editor is working for, and to know about the specs and styles required for the index before creating the estimate, because there are times when style or specs can affect the time and energy put into the index. If it's going to take more time to align the final index with the particular specs and style requirements, then I would need to adjust the estimate accordingly. I also talked about evaluating the sample chapters of the text for density and complexity of the material, also potentially indexing a few pages. It's important to know how many names are scattered throughout the text and the level and writing style. I want to be able to calculate the number of words per page and predict the number of entries per page to establish an appropriate estimate for the indexing project. Now that I have all this information gathered, I am ready to actually calculate the estimate for the indexing project. I have found this topic a bit more complicated to talk about, and I hope my process comes across clearly. But if it doesn't, and you have some questions, feel free to drop your comment or questions in the Indexer Exchange box. I'll put the link in the show notes. Before I get into the details, I do want to point out that I don't always index a few pages to get an idea of the number of entries. If I've worked for this press before, I often have a good idea of the book structure and the level of indexing required. If I've indexed this type of book or subject matter before, I don't do the sample index because I tend to have a good idea of the number of entries per page. By page, I am referring to a page with 350 words, which is what I find to be the baseline page for me. I rarely see books with less than 350 words per page, but it's easy to upcharge or downcharge according to this baseline. I do glance through the sample to determine the number of names or company names, etc., scattered through the text. Even though these tend to be easy to pick up, if the expected number of entries per page goes up because of this, my fee will go up as well. We often think of names as low-hanging fruit, easier to index than concepts, but they are fraught with their own problems. Sometimes it takes extra time to determine how to flip names or figure out inconsistencies among names. How about when we have to break down those undifferentiated locators into subheads? That can be time-consuming. Not necessarily hard or mentally taxing work, but time-consuming. Here I'm bringing up that word again. Time. I've mentioned time 4 times in this episode so far, and I've just gotten started. In the previous episode, I've said the word time, or I've alluded to it, at least 6 times. This is significant. Why? Because I base my estimate on the amount of time I think it will take to create, edit, and stylize the index for the author or the press. Then I translate that time estimate into a rate or flat project fee by multiplying my estimated hours by my idealized hourly rate. Time. Do you have a good way to take into account the amount of time you will spend on an index? Or is it an estimate or guesstimate or gut feeling? Do you know the hourly rate you have earned for every index you've completed over the past year? I do, and it's the cornerstone of my estimate process. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of this process. I use a number of data points that I have on my index spreadsheet to create the estimate. Remember, you can go back to episode 9, I'll put a link in the show notes, where I go over the difference between per page, per entry, and per word in coming up in charging for indexes. So I look at 6 different data points that I have on my spreadsheet. I look at, first of all, the number of indexable pages in the book.
And as I mentioned earlier, I do adjust for pages that are above or below my 350 word per page baseline. Second, I look at the number of entries I think I will create per page based on previous books with the subject matter or material indexed with this publisher, etc. In other words, I try to look at similar books with a similar subject, similar type of material that I'm indexing, and I want to see the number of entries that I do for these kinds of books to give me a good idea of the density of the indexing. I also look at whether I'm going to be indexing footnotes or endnotes. I'm going to say that for me, footnotes and endnotes take more time than regular indexable pages, so this is calculated separately from the number of indexable pages. And even among endnotes and footnotes, I look at these differently. I use a different calculation because endnotes do take longer. We deserve to be paid for our extra time. Not only is the text more dense on an endnote page, we also have the flipping, and I'm using flipping in air quotes, back and forth between the endnotes and the text, and that takes extra time. Now, I know we're not actually flipping among the pages if we're using PDFs. We can open up two different documents and look at them side by side, but we are still searching for that note on the page and placing that in the context of the index. If you have a process for this type of indexing that doesn't take extra time, let me know. I'd love to have you as a guest on this show, or can I talk you into doing a webinar on this? I'm sure a lot of us would love to hear about your method. Next, I think about name indexes. If I have to do a name index, I do upcharge for having to consult the resources pages if I have to add initials or first names to the names. This is more time consuming, and I want to make sure I get paid for that extra time. Now, the next thing I look at is the number of hours I spent on similar books. And note, I am not talking about similar length books. Again, I only compare similar materials and subject matter, along with the number of entries per page and the density of text, and I adjust accordingly. Assuming a similar time frame for the same number of pages is not very accurate unless I'm dealing with a press that has a formula across book types. I am trying to make apple-to-apple comparisons here, not just page-length comparisons. Finally, the last thing I look at, number 6, is the level of difficulty. Sometimes the writing style, the structure of the book, or the subject matter makes the index more difficult to create. Now, let me give you a concrete example. Let's say I have a 250-page book in front of me, and on a spreadsheet, I find books with a similar subject. This book, let's say, is on dog training, and I look for something with a similar material type, which for this kind of book, it's a trade book for a general audience. Let's say I've done a 150-page book that took me 10 hours to index that is similar to this book. Maybe it's on horse training, but the number of entries per page is going to be similar. I know that I index and edited and stylized this at a rate of 15 pages per hour. So I'm going to divide the 250 pages of the book that I'm trying to create an estimate for by 15 pages per hour to get an estimate of 17 hours for this project. I always round up. This was 16.666 hours. And then I multiply this by my target hourly rate, and that will establish my project rate. But let's say this book for some reason has a lot of endnotes or footnotes, probably a little unusual for this kind of thing, but let's say it does. And there are a high number of them. I need to add extra time for that. If I need to do a name index in addition to a subject index, again, not likely with this book, but if I do need to do a name index, I start with my base rate for the name index, which is based on the estimated number of entries per page, and then I upcharge if I need to consult the bibliography for initials or if I need to account for some names that will have first names changed to initials, etc., especially if this is a mix in the type of name index this will be. My name index costs are then added onto the subject index costs because usually the name index has entries that I wouldn't have included in the subject index. But sometimes the name index takes most of its entries from the subject index, so that's a different type of calculation. Remember, if the number of entries will be higher or lower than any of the books that I have on my spreadsheet, I adjust accordingly. The same goes if the number of words on a page differs from the one I'm comparing it to or the ones that I'm comparing it to. Another thing that may affect the rate are the number of photographs or figures or tables. There may be a lot to index there, so I always take that into account as well. If the difficulty level, which is a number I assign to my books based on subject matter, structure, writing style, etc., is higher or lower than what I expect this particular book to be, my estimate is, and therefore my project rate, is raised or lowered accordingly. The point I'm making is that I base my estimate on the amount of time I think it will take to create the index, edit it, and stylize it. All the adjustments I make are based on whether I will spend more or less time on the index than I have in the past, taking into account factors like projected entries per page, calculated words per page, subject difficulty, and endnotes. Because I've been indexing for years and I have a good time tracking record, I have enough data points to make a fairly accurate estimate. I want to go into the level of difficulty just a little bit more. The level of difficulty of the material is based on my perceived level of difficulty, which is not to be confused with the level of difficulty assessed by all indexers in general. For example, anything beyond the most basic philosophy book would be a very high level of difficulty for me, and I would take a lot longer to index it. This would affect my project fee, probably to the point where the press or author would not want to hire me for the project because my fee would be astronomically higher than any other indexer. So unless that author or press insists on hiring me, I probably wouldn't get the job at the rate I would need to charge to meet my goal hourly rate. And honestly, I would probably not bid for it. Or if I submitted an estimate, I would explain my high fee with a sentence such as, I would welcome the challenge of indexing this book, but my fee reflects the time-consuming nature this index would present for me since it is outside my normal scope of indexing. Now, this is a little bit different if I wanted to index this type of book because I was wanting to expand into this type of work. I might reconsider my fee and the data points considered when creating the estimate. The difficulty data point would not be weighed as heavily, nor the hourly rate earned. The difficulty for me would diminish over time if I do more of these types of books, and my hourly rate would go up as I become more proficient with this type of material. So initially, I would create an estimate knowing that I would have to absorb a hit on an hourly rate. It would be lower than my goal hourly rate. And I would consider that like a continuing education credit. If I am committed to wanting to pursue this type of subject matter in the future, I am paying for learning on the job by being willing to accept a lower hourly rate. But my client wouldn't know this. They wouldn't know this because I am charging a flat project fee. Even if I charge by the indexable page or by the entry, as some clients prefer, that hourly rate is still hidden from the client's view. This way, as I improve at this type of subject specialty, my hourly rate effectively increases without me raising my rate. I do want to point out that this is very different from charging less because I'm not an expert at this subject or material. I am not charging less because of my lack of experience, but I am willing to accept a lower hourly rate than my desired hourly rate because I know this will take longer. I make note of this in my personal notes for this estimate and on my subject spreadsheet if I end up with this job. That would be a signal to me in the future that this page rate for this type of book is accurate, but the hourly rate earned is artificially low because of my experience level or efficiency. This is also a perfect example of understanding the amount of time it takes to do a project and how it helps me with scheduling. I know in advance that I need a larger cushion of time for this type of book in my schedule, and I need to plan accordingly. I hope that this example helps to illustrate why I use so many different data points when coming up with my estimate. The hourly rate earned, calculated at the end of the project, then lets me know if I charge enough for this index in hindsight. I want you to note that sometimes I earn the right to have a higher hourly rate. Or if I'm new at this type of indexing, like I explained, and I want to do it in the future, I will accept a lower hourly rate because I want to remain competitive for this type of work, and I want to get this type of work. And I do expect that my hourly rate over time will increase, even if the page rate or entry rate remains the same. The per word rate helps me account for differences in density across different books, along with the page rate. The per word rate might explain why the page rate is higher in some cases and lower in others. The per entry rate reflects the density of the index. This is where newbies can take heart. Your hourly rate might be lower initially, but as you gain experience, it does rise. So in essence, your rates might stay the same, but you earn more. But don't become complacent and not raise your rates over time, even if you are earning a higher hourly rate. As an aside, everyone, experts and newish indexers alike, should be reviewing rates every 6 months to take into account what they need to earn and what they are charging to make sure that they are earning enough to support business expenses and personal expenses. Reviewing your rates doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to raise your rates. You might not find the need to raise your rates, or you might think about raising your rates for new clients only, or maybe across the board. That's a discussion for another time. But you need to be aware of whether you are earning enough money to support your business and your lifestyle. If not, your input or output needs to change. I'd like to make one more caveat about these data points. When I do name and subject indexes for one book, I do use two lines on my spreadsheet because in my mind, these two are different things, but I don't necessarily do this on an invoice. Of course, depending on the client, they are sometimes two separate line items, but just to know, usually it's just one line on the invoice, but I do separate it out on my spreadsheet. As I mentioned in part one, explaining my estimate process takes a lot longer than actually doing the estimate. This is not a time-intensive process when I have the data points available. I will admit that it does take diligence to take a few moments after sending out the invoice to make sure these data points are entered into my spreadsheet. But a well-crafted spreadsheet allows me to simply enter the number of pages indexed, the hours spent editing and indexing, the project fee, and the number of entries, and then the rest is calculated for me and populated into the specific spreadsheet cells. I hope you find this information helpful. If you have any questions, feel free to drop them in the Indexer Exchange box. The link is in the show notes. And now it's time for the See Also segment, when I talk about something related to the episode, but not directly. Today I'm going to talk about why I use a project fee instead of a per indexable page rate. The per indexable page rate seems to be the most popular rate used by indexers based on anecdotal experience. Even in my survey on 2021 rates, I found that 83% of the indexers who participated in the survey used a per indexable page rate for calculating indexing projects. Now, I don't know whether this is because the indexers are used to giving a per indexable page rate, whether this was a choice, or whether this was requested by clients. Based on anecdotal information, it seems like this is a choice by indexers. Personally, I find the use of this rate awkward. When you send a client a per indexable page rate, they still have to grab a calculator, count the number of pages in their book, and come up with what they think it will cost them to have the books indexed by you. They don't always understand what an indexable page is, so they really don't have an idea of what that end project fee is, which is the most important thing for them to know if they're going to have this project indexed by you. That doesn't sound very user-friendly, does it? And that's why I don't use a per indexable page rate. Besides, coming up with a per indexable page rate means I have to do an extra calculation on my part to present this rate to the client. I have to do more explaining about what this rate means and how they are going to use this to come up with that end project fee. Doesn't it sound so much more simple to just give them the project fee? I hope you found this episode to be helpful. I am happy to answer any of your questions about this episode, so feel free to drop a suggestion or comment in the exchange box. The link is in the show notes. And I just want to use this moment to remind you that there are only two more episodes in season one, and then I'll be back with season two in the fall. The final episode, which is episode 16, is going to be a question and answer episode where I will answer your questions or find an indexer who can. If you have any questions that you want to have featured on the show, drop your question in the exchange box. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Freelance Indexer Exchange. Until next Monday, be well and do well, and happy indexing.